I will be reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds we were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things we do appear.
Good to be with you this evening. It's always a great day when you see a soul added by the Lord to His church, translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we're thankful for Kendra's decision to put on Christ this afternoon. I want to talk tonight about our faith that we have in God. And Hebrews chapter 11 is known as a chapter of faith. It gives some attributes of faith in verse 1. It's maybe not an exhaustive definition, but as far as a definition of faith, it is partly what faith is all about. Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't stand on its own. It is part of a whole discussion. And I would recommend if you want to understand Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 3 to go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 19 and read from Hebrews 10:19 all the way through Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29. It is a whole section about continuing through faith. And we live in a world where we're so busy with certain things that sometimes, like I mentioned this morning, we don't take time to look at what is out there in the world and the evidence of God that is all around us. And I think it's important for us to emphasize why we know God exists, what basis we have for our faith. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, is this section on continuing by faith to trust God's promises, to take Him at His word, to look forward and go onward and upward in the Christian life instead of drawing back and going into sin. And if you look at the last two verses of chapter 10, you'll read this. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And with that in mind, the idea of believing, thinking about the ultimate salvation of our souls, looking forward to that great and glorious day when we will be with the Lord. I'm appreciative of the song that Brother Brandon led, because we're looking on Sunday nights here at this theme of improving our spiritual vision. And tonight we're looking at how we can see Him who is invisible. God is not tangible. You can't see Him with the naked eye. You can't look out and just see His form. But the evidence that He exists is all around us if we'll just open our eyes. And the evidence that heaven awaits the faithful is there if we will look for Him with the eye of faith. And so we're talking about living by faith and seeing Him who is invisible and looking forward to that thing that is ahead of us, the great blessing of heaven. And if you and I are going to be faithful to the Lord, we've got to keep those as a vivid reality in our lives. The devil wants us to turn our back on the Lord. The devil wants us to draw back to perdition. He doesn't want us to continue by faith. He doesn't want us to trust in the things that are unseen. He wants us to just think about the things that are right before us that we can see, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And He doesn't want us to be exercising our spiritual vision. And so we need to believe to the saving of the soul. And chapter 11 goes on to say this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, usually, When we go to that verse, we'll talk about how faith is based on evidence. And that is true. It is the case that faith is not just some sort of leap, a blind leap or a leap in the dark, like Soren Kierkegaard advocated. Faith is actually based on evidence. But the word here that is translated evidence in the King James is not really the word that we would have for evidence. The American Standard, I think, does a really good job at translating what these words in the original mean in our vernacular when it translates that faith is the conviction of things hoped for, the assurance of things unseen. And so that's why I said that this is not an exhaustive definition, but it does give us some attributes about faith, that it's this conviction, it's this confidence, it's this assurance. In fact, if you have a King James Version and you hold your place at Hebrews chapter 11, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 3 and you read with me verse 13 of Hebrews 3, the same word in the original language, in the Greek language, is found in Hebrews 3, verse 13, where the Bible says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And then it says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our," here's verse 14, "confidence steadfast to the end." And so the Greek word that is translated confidence in Hebrews 3 and verse 14 is the same Greek word that you find in Hebrews chapter 11 that is translated substance. It's this idea of conviction or confidence. And so it's having confidence that God's promises are true, that he will make good on what he said he will do, that he will provide you an entrance, an abundant entrance into his eternal kingdom in heaven. And so it's something that you look forward to. You see, Bible faith is taking God at his word. Hope, according to the Bible, is not just a hunch. It's something that you can be confident about, you can have assurance about. And so, yes, it is based on the evidence. Notice, as Hebrews 11 goes on, it says there that faith is this conviction of things hoped for, this assurance of things not seen. And then it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report," a good testimony. Now, what kind of elders are we talking about here? Are we talking about elders in the church? No, we're talking about the ancient ones. Men of old, men and women of old, because he goes on to highlight all of these examples of people that trusted in God, that had this conviction and this assurance that God was going to make good on his promise. And so you have Abel, you have Enoch, you have Noah, you have Abraham, you have Sarah, you have Jacob, all of these that he talks about. And notice, again, he says in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, "And all these, having obtained a good report," a good testimony, "through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." And so all of these examples of people in the Old Testament who had this conviction, taking God at his word that he would be faithful to his promise, that is what this faith is. It's this confidence in God. And so you and I live in a world that is physical. God is spirit, John 4, verse 24. And so how can we see God if he's invisible? Well, we can see him with the eye of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear or are visible." This physical world didn't create itself. There wasn't nothing, and then all of a sudden a big bang happened and there was something. God existed. And God, who is outside of space and time, created space and time, and he created the world. How did he do that? By his very word. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, you find over and over again every aspect of his creation, the Bible says, "And God said." God said, "Let there be light." God said, God said, and it happened. And so here in Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says that by the word of God, by faith we understand that by the word of God, the worlds were framed. In Romans chapter 1, we have a statement made about how there is abundant evidence all around us for God's existence. Read with me. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." So notice, just stop right there. God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. How can you see Him that is invisible? Evidently, they're clearly seen. How? "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We have this physical world around us. It's got order and design in it. It's got functionality in it. You can't have order without an orderer. You can't have design without a designer. You can't have something made without a maker. And so Romans 1 verse 20 says that we can see the invisible attributes of God by the things that He has made. Now, I was not here when this building was made. Some of you were. Some of you are that ancient. You're the ancient ones that have lived by faith, right? I'm just joking. Sorry about that. But I wasn't here. I guess it was 1974, around that time, this building was. But I know this. I know that the elders at the Flatwood Church, even though everybody was meeting in that building that's down the road a little bit, I know they didn't just wait for a tornado to come through Flatwoods, Kentucky. I guess it wasn't, was it called Flatwoods back then? I don't know. But anyway, they didn't just wait for a tornado or 1,000 tornadoes to come through and blow all these blocks together and these boards where they were and put these lights up where they were. I know that this building had a builder. I didn't see it be built, but I know that it was built. So it is in Romans 1, you don't see God, but you see what He has built. And so faith is not something that you just leap into without any evidence. It is actually based on evidence. It doesn't exclude evidence, it includes evidence. And so Romans 1 says that we can understand these things about God. We can understand that He is eternal, that He's powerful, and that He is divine, that He is God, the Godhead. Not the Godhead in the sense of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't think Paul is saying in Romans 1, 20 that you can tell about the Trinity from creation, but you can tell that that something has always existed. That would be God, that He is eternal, that He's powerful because He was able to create this, and that He is God. Those can be told, those can be deduced from the world around you. But does everybody get that conclusion? Are there people in our day and time that say they don't believe in God? Yeah. You know, that's the interesting thing about the physical world we find ourselves in. We're drawn to it. And we can actually get lost in it in the sense that we can, we have kind of a shade between us and God where if we want to turn our back on Him, God gives us enough space to do that. But as the scripture Brother Bobby put out there on the marquee says, if we want to seek after Him and find Him, we can do that as well. And so verse 21 says, "Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up into uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Why do people who say they don't believe in God have so much anger against Him? Why is there such a push for God to not be mentioned in the public sector in our society? Why do people not want God mentioned in our Pledge of Allegiance? Why do people not want God his name put on our money or on our monuments. Because when you're thinking about God, and when you're seeing him who is invisible, and you know that you're going to have to give an account to him, it's very difficult for you to be comfortable in your sin. And so you've got to cast God out of your mind if you want to engage in sin. And that's what people do. They'll cast God out of their mind, and they'll worship themselves as if they are God. They'll worship the creature rather than the creator. But notice that Romans 1, verse 20 says, there is no excuse for a man not to believe that God exists. You look at your physical body and how marvelous it is, all the complex workings of it. You think about the vision that we've been talking about. Think about your eye and how amazing your eye is, that it's able to focus light on the retina. It's able to make adjustments. It's able to clean itself. All of those amazing things that just that one organ is able to do. How did that arise? Obviously, it had to have a designer. And so what we're saying tonight is that we need to learn to see him who is invisible by faith. And faith is not some leap in the dark. It's confidence based on the evidence that we see before us. And you and I can choose to ignore that evidence. We can have a dishonest heart, and we can not glorify God, not be thankful for him. And we can choose to go about lives the way that we want to instead of following him. But in the end, you and I will come to meet God. And so Romans 1, verse 20 tells us there's no excuse not to believe in him. Psalm 19 is another passage, I think, that needs to be talked about in regard to this. The Bible there says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. You know, every day that the sun comes up, every night when you can look up and you can see the stars, they are screaming, they are shouting this, that God has declared, that God has made them. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You can go to a different nation where they don't speak the same language as you, and yet they can look up to the starry sky above, and they can be marveling in awe of how those have been placed there. Their line, like a line in the play, is gone out through all the earth. Their words are to the end of the world. And he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so the physical world all around us is a world that declares that God has made it. I believe it was Immanuel Kant who denied several things, was a famous agnostic, that wondered about two things. He says, from whence come the starry sky above and the moral law within? See, even he had to admit that there was something powerful that put the heavens in their place and that gave man this moral compass that certain things were right and wrong. And yet he was not willing to have true confidence in the God of the Bible. And so we can know God, we can see him who is invisible by what he has made. Now I want you to go back to Psalm 123. Hebrews chapter 11 mentions that we look back to the things that God has created, but it's really all in a section, and this is why I told you about Hebrews 10, 19 through 12, 29, that it's all about a section that looks forward to the future. See, you and I are here, we're in this brief little sliver called time that's in between two vast eternities. And by faith we understand that this physical world that is going to last for a short time, came into existence. And so by faith, we understand that past. And what Hebrews 11 is trying to tell us is that same faith ought to give us confidence about the future and to look to him that has a new heavens and new earth that he's going to prepare for us to live in. Psalm 123, where the Bible talks about how we should look to God, we should behold the Lord when we're going through life. It says there, "Unto you I lift up my eyes. O you who dwell in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." We have to look to the Lord. We have to see him who is invisible. We have to live our lives in such a way that even though there are people that deny God that are in places of power, even though there are wicked people that have an easy life, it seems like, we have to continue to walk by faith. We have to be, like 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, people that have this as our motto: while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. It's just temporary. Everything that you see has an expiration date. It's not really what's significant. But the things which are not seen, those are eternal. And it goes on in 2 Corinthians to say this in chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How did all of those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, how did they continue on, even if they were cut in two, even if they had to be thrown into the lion's den or burned alive? How were they able to do all of that? They walked by faith. They had confidence. They saw him who is unseen. And they looked to the eternal realm, which is unseen. Now I'm telling you, there's coming a day in which all will acknowledge God who is at this time unseen. In Romans 14, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. And so it behooves us to recognize him now, to bow our knees in submission to him voluntarily and confess our faith in him voluntarily now, to give our allegiance to him who created us, who placed our souls in our bodies, and who has prepared an eternal heaven for us. Because if we don't, we'll recognize it one day, but it will be to no avail. Our knees will buckle when the Lord comes back. Our tongues will confess, but we will not be recognized as one who gave their allegiance to him. And so tonight, I ask you to walk by faith, to look at the world around you and to remind yourself, there's a God who created all this. And he's going to bring it all to an end. And we all must deal with him. We all must see him who is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, that he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No matter what you do, if you don't do it by faith, going to be no good. Somebody can say, "Oh, I want to be baptized." If they're not going to do it by faith, all you've done is made a dry sinner wet. But if somebody will take God at his word and do it by faith, then you can please him. We believe that he is, even though you can't see him, and you believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you're willing tonight to respond to the Lord in faith, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, to respond in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you can become a child of God. Maybe you've done those first things and you have started to draw back, like these people in Hebrews. Maybe you have been drawn back to the world, or you've turned your back on the Lord and you're not walking by faith. And you need to make correction. You know, this is why we come together. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us in verse 23 that we need to be faithful to the confession that we made. You know, when you become a Christian, you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you have to be faithful to that confession, to that profession of faith, throughout the rest of your days. How do you do that? Well, you provoke your brethren to love and good works, verse 24. You don't forsake the assembly, as the habit of some is, but you exhort one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you don't, verse 26, sin willfully, because if you sin willfully, then there's no more sacrifice for sins. But you walk by faith, and you hope in that day when God will be seen by all, and the new heavens and the new earth are prepared for us to dwell in. And so tonight, we ask you to see him who is invisible, and if you have any sort of need, please come while together we stand and while we sing.
I am resolved no longer to have a Lord my side. I will haste unto him, haste unto so glad and free. Jesus, reignest highest, I will come to to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will haste unto done so glad and free. Jesus, reignest highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will haste unto him, haste unto so glad and free. Jesus, reignest highest, I will come to thee.
Please be seated.